The findings of the commission corroborated the decisions of the General Syrian Congress, consisting of the elected representatives of the populations of Palestine, Lebanon, and Syria. A resolution passed unanimously by the Congress on 2 July 1919 announced, quote, "We oppose the pretensions of the Zionists to create a Jewish commonwealth in the southern part of Syria, known as Palestine, and oppose Zionist migration to any part of our country, for we do not acknowledge their title, but consider them a grave peril to our people from the national, economical, and political points of view. Our Jewish compatriots shall enjoy our common rights and assume the common responsibilities," unquote. Similar utterances of unqualified rejection of Zionism continued to be made by every Palestinian Arab gathering throughout the decades of British occupation of Palestine. Not once did a Palestinian Arab group or conference express acceptance, even partial or qualified, of Zionist colonization. And the feelings so unequivocally expressed to the King Crane Commission in 1919 continued thereafter to be expressed with equal forcefulness to the mandatory government and its countless commissions, as well as to the League of Nations and the United Nations, by every Palestinian delegation that had a chance to appear before any of those bodies. But declarations of opposition, however important as an expression of national will, were not the only means of resistance to which the people of Palestine had recourse. In March 1920, armed hostilities broke out between Arab villagers and Zionist colonists in northern Palestine, and in April 1920, Arab-Zionist fighting took place in Jerusalem. These were followed by uprisings in 1921, 1929, and 1933, and by a countrywide rebellion in 1936, which was renewed in 1937, and lasted until the outbreak of the Second World War in 1939. And, from December 1947 until the withdrawal of Britain and the simultaneous proclamation of the Zionist settler state in May 1948, Palestinian Arabs were engaged in a life-and-death battle with the British garrison as well as with the Zionist colonists. By their untiring reiteration of their rejection of Zionist colonialism, and by their unstinting sacrifice of life and limb in defense of the sanctity of the homeland over 30 years, Palestinians of all walks of life eloquently testified, by word as well as deed, in ink as well as blood, to their devotion to their national rights and their unqualified opposition to the Zionization of their country. The range of means by which Palestinians chose to express their opposition to the partnership of Zionist colonialism and British imperialism from 1917 to 1948 was not confined to declaration and rebellion. In more prosaic and perhaps more difficult and more costly methods, the unqualified quote-unquote no of the Arabs of Palestine was addressed to empire builders and to racist colonists alike. At the height of the famous rebellion of 1936, the people of Palestine launched a devastating civil disobedience movement, coupled with a countrywide strike which lasted for 174 days, perhaps the longest national strike in history, and affected all businesses, communications, and government services run by Arabs. In spite of its high cost to themselves, the men and women of Palestine persisted in their strike, resisting all efforts of the mandatory power to break it, and did not call it off until the rulers of the neighboring Arab states intervened and promised to initiate collective Arab negotiations with the British government with a view to remedying the causes of Palestinian Arab grievances. More importantly, the Palestinian Arabs brought into their struggle against the Zionization of Palestine the only remaining weapon at their command. If they had no control over the immigration of Zionist colonists into Palestine, they did have some control over the sale of land to those colonists. This weapon they used unsparingly throughout the period of the mandate. The record shows that during 30 years of British occupation, an active encouragement of Zionist colonization, while the Zionists were allowed by the mandatory power to multiply to 12 times their number in 1917, and while the ratio of the Zionists to the total population was allowed to rise to one-third, Zionist acquisition of land grew at a snail's pace as a result of the Arabs' refusal to sell their land to the colonists. Statistics published by the British government reveal that the total area acquired by Zionists from 1920, when land registries were open, until the dislodgement of the Arabs, was under 4% of the total area of Palestine. Of this Zionist-acquired land, a part was sold by non-Palestinian absentee landowners, and another part was transferred to the Zionist colonization funds by the British government itself, public domain, over which the mandatory government was trustee for the Palestinian people. In fact, an official spokesman for the Jewish Agency disclosed to a British